News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, US President Donald Trump has denounced Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky as a dictator without elections. In a post on his Truth social media platform, Trump calls Zelensky a moderately successful comedian who has talked the US into spending $350 billion to go into a war that couldn't be won and never had to start. And for more on this, I'm joined by Misha Glenny, author and broadcaster and the rector of the Institute for Human Sciences in Vienna. Good morning to you, Misha. A lot to unpick here. Your reaction to these, in erstwhile times, we might have considered extraordinary comments about President Zelensky by Donald Trump.
They are extraordinary comments and brutal comments, and every day now something is happening to crank up the atmosphere and deteriorating relations between Europe and the United States. And you can tell that by the panic that the Europeans have entered into since the Munich conference last Friday and Saturday, particularly after J.D. Vance made his assault on European values. There's no way of sugaring this pill. This is a historical break that we're witnessing between the United States and Europe, and Ukraine is getting it in the neck as a consequence. This is very damaging for the prospects of Ukraine in its war with Russia, but it also leaves Europe scrambling to know what to do about its politics and its security in the midterm.
Yeah, the prospect of a malign or slightly antagonistic U.S. Allied to Russia, and it certainly does look like currently President Trump is pandering to Putin and pandering to what Russia would want in all of this. In terms of, we'll talk about what in terms that means for the, I suppose, the EU in a moment, but what that means for Ukraine. I mean, what are the US's actual abilities to argue the position of Ukraine in these peace talks? They have no rights over Ukraine. They've no ability to force Ukraine to do anything other than through political and perhaps financial pressure.
Well, they're also largely ignoring Ukraine. So the talks in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, earlier this week between Russia and the United States were over the head of the Ukrainians and over the head of the European Union. Now, Keith Kellogg, who is allegedly the special envoy for Trump re-Ukraine, who in fact, though, has been largely sidelined from the big decision so far, is in Kyiv today speaking to President Zelensky, and we'll see what comes out of that. But I think what's really important in terms of this burgeoning relationship between Putin and Trump that you talk about is the fact that this is not just about Ukraine, although he's essentially handing Ukraine and those bits of Ukraine that Putin wants on a plate. It's also about a broader strategic pact between Russia and the US, particularly vis-a-vis the Arctic and carving up the Arctic in the future, hence all the stuff about Canada and Greenland, and also cooperation and collaboration in the Middle East. So this is a big, big shift in geopolitics.
And Ukraine clearly can be sacrificed in all of that. Misha, your read of how the EU should navigate these, I suppose, choppy waters and changing times?
Well, first of all, we've seen several of European Union leaders and the UK Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, effectively denounce Trump's intervention by either doing so directly or in Keir Starmer's case by offering vocal support for Volodymyr Zelensky in Ukraine. And it'll be interesting to see what impact that has on Sir Keir Starmer's meeting with President Trump next week. But the problem for the EU is first of all, they don't have the military equipment to support Ukraine in the way that America has been able to do. But secondly, if President Trump sells out a large chunk of Ukraine and turns it into a much weaker economic unit and a failing state, then the bill for that is likely to land on the desks of the chancelleries of Europe. So Europe will end up having somehow to finance a very, very dysfunctional Ukraine. And at a time when all budgets are being scrutinized by electorates, and we're going to see that in Germany on Sunday when the Germans go to the polls, trying to argue that we have to prop up Ukraine is going to create some really serious domestic tensions.
And just very lastly, Misha, in terms of defense, European defense, that can only move in one direction now, doesn't it? Where Europe needs to, I suppose, step up in that position without the US being there as some kind of a backstop.
I think Europe has to make the assumption that the US is no longer going to function as the backbone of its defence capability. And so, yes, I mean, it's worth pointing out that the European Union and the United Kingdom combined spend almost twice as much as China does, and certainly more than Russia does, on defence every year. Only the US spends more. What the EU has to do is to coordinate and streamline its defence. And the United Kingdom needs to know that going for Brexit in 2016 is turning out to be looking like a very, very bad decision for its long-term security.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Misha Glenny there, author and broadcaster and the rector of the Institute for Human Sciences in Vienna. And I'm also joined now by former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern. Good morning to you, Bertie. Bertie, your read of all of this, I mean, this really is extraordinary, this change in US foreign policy.
Yes, it is. I mean, the last week since the Munich summit, what has happened, what Vance's speech, Rubio's speech at the meeting in Saudi, what the president has said, President Trump has said in the last two nights, I mean, it puts everything on its head. I suppose, like everything in life, it requires a bit of cool heads. The reality is that Zelensky and Hungary in particular, they need America, the kind of resources that they've had for the last 10 years since 2014. They can't replace that with anything else. So they have to try and keep America on side as best they can. I just don't understand why the American position gave away so much before they sat down with the Russians, just to get the Russians in the table. They said no NATO, no pre-war borders, elections, Crimea accepted.
Yeah, all of those would have been Putin demands.
Then turn around and say that he's a dictator. I mean, it seems to be a terrible switch around. But I think it's very important that, you know, I think the public would get totally, you know, confused of what happened. But what happened in 2014, Vladimir Putin grabbed much of Donbass, the eastern region of Ukraine. Then he took Luhansk. And he pretended that he hadn't. And as a fig leaf, he supposedly said that local separatists who Russia, they armed, they directed, mm-hmm. they supplied. And, you know, they said this was protecting ethnic Russians from persecution. And then, of course, as time moved on, Putin used that for a full-scale invasion of Ukraine. He annexed the bogus satellites and he had held elections. So the idea that this is something to do with Ukraine starting all this is so unfair and so untrue.
Bertie, your read of Vladimir Putin, I mean, Trump does appear to be cozying up to him. Misha said that he believes it's to do with, I suppose, interests, probably minerals and mining, etc., in the Arctic, also geopolitical situation in the Middle East. But Putin himself is a mercurial character. Is Trump making, aside from the moral question about all of this, is he making a strategic mistake?
Well, you'd like to think that he has he's playing two games and that maybe he'll turn the other way. But the Russian playbook is fairly simple. You show you're open to a deal, you put up demands, no peacekeepers, NATO borders pre-97. You get yourself relevant on the world stage where you've been out of it for 3 years. You actually look good domestically. You say you're going to meet Trump. You push for elections, which will influence and install your man. That's probably Viktor Medvedchuk. no elections have ever happened during World War II in Europe, so that's a non-issue. The only one that was looking for elections in Ukraine up until last week, the only one that ever mentioned it anywhere, any think tanks anywhere, the only one that ever said it was Putin.
Yeah. And, well, he wants to depose Zelensky, and that's been very clear from the beginning.
Yeah, it is, and but who goes in? It's Viktor goes in. I mean, and that's the game. And of course, you know, we shouldn't forget that Ukraine gave up its third largest nuclear arsenal in the world for security guarantees from Russia, UK, and US. And that's why, going back in history, all this went against them. They did all that based.
They
on
are saying
security.
Now they would They've like they security. Would like them back, and I suppose that's unsurprising. Very lastly and briefly, Bertie, if you were going to the White House next month, if you were invited to hand over the bowl of shamrock, how would you handle that situation? These are very tricky times.
They are. We have to. I think we have to try and keep as close as we can to United States and to United States administrations. We've always done that. And as difficult as it is, we always were allowed to say our piece. And I think we have to watch our commercial interests, our business interests, our employment and investment, all of that. But we were always able to say our piece.
And when you say our piece, do you mean criticise US in Gaza, criticise US in the Ukraine? Do you mean actually go that far?
Yeah, you can say. I remember, you know, when the tricky one I had was the time of the invasion of Iraq, and then we had a different position. 100,000 people marched here, I think, the week that I went over there, and I said our piece. And I remember Bush didn't like it, but I was allowed to say it. And then we moved on to other issues. And then we were walking down the corridor. He said, by the way, the war will be starting next week. So, I mean, you weren't going to change his mind on it, but we're entitled to say our piece. We should say our piece. And I've no doubt that the Taoiseach will.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on that this morning. That is former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.